is a podcast of 98FM's Dublin Talks. Remember, catch the show live Monday to Friday at 10 a.m. 98FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.
If you regularly use social media, you'll often see somebody putting up a photograph on their Instagram or Facebook, whatever, photograph of a glass of wine, or on Snapchat or whatever, photograph of a glass of wine and the Netflix logo in the background, and it's saying something like, oh, just chilling and relaxing and enjoying my glass of wine. Well, one of our listeners, who shall remain nameless, has gotten in touch with us, and she says basically her sister puts the kids to bed. She's two kids, puts them to bed every night and drinks nearly a bottle of wine. She drinks while watching Netflix and then heads to bed at around 11. She doesn't seem to have a hangover the next day. She gets up early. She gets the kids out to school. When I confronted her about it, she said she doesn't have an issue. She just likes to de-stress at night. I enjoy a few drinks of the weekend, says our listener. And she says, but I feel a bottle every night is just too much. And we're asking you, is that a problem? So here's a lady who just likes to unwind in the evening and have a couple of glasses of wine, maybe a bottle. And her sister thinks it's a problem, but the lady herself doesn't think it's a problem. I'd love to hear from you on 6797981. Maybe you're somebody who has, I don't know, two or three cans of beer at night and doesn't see a problem with it. Whatever your opinion, call me right now on 6797981. You can text or WhatsApp 0877 98 98 98. Pete, you're on 98FM. How are you, Pete?
Hey, Adrian. How are you getting on? Good morning to you.
Pete, you do think this is a problem?
Yeah, I do. I'm not saying the same again. Like the listener, I'm not one to, you know, shy away and not have a drink. You know what I mean? I like having a beer or two at the weekend. I think that having a glass or three glasses of wine every night, or a bottle of wine to unwind every night, is a problem.
Well, okay, so this lady puts the kids to bed and she has a couple of glasses of wine every night as she's watching Netflix or whatever. Now, she wouldn't be the only one. This has become become the new thing.
It seems to be a trend now that it's a way of unwinding at the end of the day. Get sculling a bottle of wine. You know, getting a bottle of wine into you and then going to sleep and waiting till the kids go to bed, it sort of things alarm bells for me anyway. That you need, like, the need to drink a bottle of wine to wind down is a problem, I think. You know, every day now I'm talking about. Like, this is, like, from what your caller or listener says, is that every day she's noticed this is every day. That's habitual. That's a habit.
And that's where you have a problem, is it?
If it becomes habit, then it can become a major problem in years to come. Which I've seen it myself firsthand with people I know. That they started off with a glass or two of wine, and then, you know, one or two old friends of mine are now, you know, recovering alcoholics.
Okay, so if, and now, like I said, this lady probably isn't going to bed drunk.
She wouldn't be stone cold sober either, Adrian.
No, I'm sure she wouldn't.
Not just that, then your lack of responsibility with two kids then sort of starts to shine then. Because what if something happened in the night time that, you know, one of your kids had to be brought to hospital, God forbid, that something happened, like, and you had to bring your child, you had to jump into the car and drive to the hospital, then you've no control. You're out of control because you've been drinking.
All right, do me a favour, stay there for one second if you can, please. 6797981 is our telephone number. You can text or WhatsApp 0877 98 98 98. We're talking about wine o'clock. That's what people call it now. And this is, you know, chilling out, just putting the feet up, taking a photograph of your glass of wine and putting it on social media, but that's neither here nor there. And just enjoying a couple of glasses of wine every night. And this is the problem that our listener's sister, she thinks it's a problem. She has two kids, and I know she likes to unwind every night, but she drinks nearly a bottle of wine. She drinks while watching Netflix or reading, and then heads to bed at around 11. She doesn't seem to have a hangover the next day. She gets up early and gets the kids out to school and everything else. But when I confronted her about it, she said she doesn't have an issue. She just likes to de-stress at night. I enjoy a few drinks at the weekend, but I feel like a bottle of wine every night is too much. I feel like she needs it as well, which is also worrying. Now, on the next line I have a man that we're just calling Ken, and I've disguised his voice because, Ken, we've touched on a raw nerve here, have we?
Yeah, it's an ongoing problem with me, so it is. Started off with glass, then went to two glasses and went on for a long time, and all of a sudden then into a bottle. And at the minute now, it couldn't be any worse. It's two bottles, or she'd go off on her own and buy some. And
so is this a problem for you or for your partner?
It's for my partner.
Okay, so, and that's why we disguise your voice, because we don't want to identify her. Okay, that's fair enough. So, okay, it started off like this lady we're referring to in the message that we got, that it's a couple of glasses of wine just to relax, just to chill out as she's watching the telly. And what you're saying, Ken, is that's where it started with your partner.
That's where it started, yeah. I enjoy a few drinks myself, but I might have a can or two most nights, every night. She was the same, but it just got worse and worse with her.
Okay, but with you, it hasn't gotten worse and worse.
Some people will
say, if you have to have two cans of beer every night, that's a problem.
It is a problem. It's a thing that I do all the time, and I love to have one. And I feel jittery if I don't have one, you know, but I can still go without it.
Okay, you can go without it, but your partner started off having just a glass or two a night, and now where's it gone to?
It's gone to a bottle, and it's gone to two bottles at times.
And we're talking like on a school night, on a weeknight?
It could be any night, every night. And if she hasn't got it, she could go off and buy it during the day, but she's drinking during the day, and now it's gone to that stage.
Oh, really? Right. So what started out as just a chilled, relaxed evening in by the fire, having two glasses of wine, has now extended to drinking during the day and drinking up to two bottles in the evening.
Yeah. And if she's feeling not great, she might have a drink in the morning, and then she gets in with bed and continue on then drunk during the day. Then.
Okay, so this has kind of crept up on her, has it?
It has, yeah. It's kept on in the last few years and just got worse and worse. And if she hasn't got wine, it could be a bottle of whiskey or a vodka or anything.
Oh, right, okay. So what started off as appearing to be fairly innocent, just like this lady in the message, has literally, over a period of how many years? How many years has she been doing this?
At this stage, it could be 5 or 6 years.
5 or 6 years. So over a period of 5 or 6 years, what started off as a glass here and a glass there, chilling out in the evening, has become a big problem.
Major problem, yeah. I actually rang the AA the whole lot. I rang hospitals, everyone to see could they get help or do anything for her. And they all say that she has to want to do it herself.
And what does she say when you tackle her over it?
She recognises she has a problem, but she's doing nothing about it. She might stop for a couple of days and then all of a sudden back on it again. Or she gets upset or has an argument with a family member or anything like that, and the whole thing is gone again.
Okay, so you're trying to deal with it. Your problem is you'd have two beers every evening, but you don't go much past that. But she used to have just two glasses of wine every evening, and now it's developed into a major problem. Do you have young kids? Have you?
I do. I have an older kid, and then the other lad is younger. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And
it's not only her. I see this problem with a few women now, not just class of women, but I see a few women now that locally same problem.
Doing the exact same thing, getting more into the same habit of drinking at home most evenings.
Yeah, excessive drinking, with a lot of people now lately.
And these are probably women that would say exactly as this lady is saying, I don't have a drink problem, I just have a couple every night.
Yeah, that's it.
So for you, what can you do about this? If she recognises it's a bit of an issue, how do you deal with it? How do you take it any further than that?
I don't know, I'm at which end with it now. I ask everyone for help or what can I do, and family members the whole lot, and there's nothing I can do at this stage. And when else, it's sort of up to her, and she's not stopping her, not even trying to help herself.
Wow, but do me a favour, Ken, stay on the line there for 1 second. If you have any advice or suggestions for Ken, I'd love to hear from you on 6797981. You see, this is where wine o'clock becomes habitual and becomes a bit of a problem. If you're somebody who likes to have a couple of drinks at home, I'd love to hear from you on 6797981. You can text or WhatsApp 0877 989898. We're talking about a lady who likes to have a couple of glasses of wine at home every evening, maybe up to a bottle every night, but doesn't think that she's a problem. Her sister's come to live with her, and it's her sister who contacted us to say, I think this is a bit of a problem. Julie, I'm going to talk to you straight after the ad break, but you yourself are an alcoholic. You've been in treatment for a number of years, but the so-called wine o'clock is how it all started, is it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Adrian, hi. Yeah, spot on. That's just why I thought I really had to contact you guys, just to put a warning out there, because that's how it starts. And it started 13 years ago like that for me. And now I drink anything up to 8 bottles a day. I've lost everything. So, yeah, I would not want anyone to go through what you know, how okay. much I've messed up my life.
Do me a favour and stay on the line. I'll come straight back to you after the break. And this is Adrian Kennedy with you until midday today. Our telephone number is 6797981. You can text or WhatsApp 0877 989898, or you can send us a WhatsApp voice message just like this.
Good morning, Adrian. If you're drinking a full bottle of wine a night, right, that becomes a habit, and a habit becomes addiction. And like that man said, you start off with a glass, then one bottle, then it becomes two bottles, then you might start drinking during the day. Not to mention the monetary cost. I mean, what's a bottle of wine about? 7 or 8 euro? That's probably about 2.5 grand a year. And then you're saying she's drinking a full bottle of wine and going to bed at 11. And then she's getting up early. Emphasis on early, right? So she's actually getting up. She's probably driving kids to school. She's probably over the alcohol limit. And because she's drinking every single night, there's permanently alcohol in her system. You know what I mean? So that's very irresponsible as well.
Okay, there you go. 6797981 is our telephone number. You can text or WhatsApp 0877 989898, and you can also send a WhatsApp voice message to that same number, 0877 989898. We're talking about a message that we got from a listener who's staying with her sister for a couple of months and has discovered that her sister likes to have a glass or two or three or maybe four glasses of wine every night, nearly a bottle of wine every night, as she sits down and chills out after the kids are gone to bed. Her sister thinks this is a bit of a problem. Now, you heard from Ken, this exact same thing started like that, just a couple of glasses of wine every night, and it became a habit, and now his wife has got what sounds like quite a severe drink problem. Are you somebody who does the exact same thing? Call me right now on 6797981. Now, Julie, excuse me, that's how it started with you.
Yeah, and I guess, Adrian, I do need to kind of preface what I'm going to say, like, that I'm not scaremongering, because I do acknowledge that, like, I'm an extreme case, but it's exactly how it started. So the warnings, for me, it's not even necessarily the amount consumed, it's the frequency. Like, if you're drinking every single day, whether it's, you know, 2 glasses of wine, and you can't go a day without it, for me, that's warning kind of signs straight off.
Okay, so if it's become a habit, like anything, even if it's only one glass of wine a day, it's become a habit. That's where you're starting to develop a problem.
Yeah, and I mean, absolutely. Like, I've been in. So it's been 13 years of daily drinking. I've been in Donegal's countless times. I've been in the Rutland Centre. I'm just recently back from 56 days over in the UK. Wow. I could talk about addiction, you know, but I'm not going to get technical with you guys. I know you.
Okay, so take me back to the start when you started realizing you'd a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I guess because I was 19 when I would have started, like when it started, and I was highly functioning. Like, I had a great job. I'd, you know, I got my own place. I had, you know, had a car, had everything going for me, and it has such physiological effects in your body, and I stopped eating, and I think it's once I stopped eating that I really noticed the effect of it, like how.
Okay, so how used to work? You'd come home from work, make a dinner, and have a glass of wine.
Not well. I can't cook,
Oh, right,
but,
okay.
At the time, yeah, when I was 19, I was still living at home. I think I moved out when I was about 20 or 21. But then, yeah, so it was a daily thing. And then that's just why the alerts, it was just when I heard your, you know, the email from your listener, it was just like, that's exactly how it starts. Like your previous caller, Cam, was saying, like, it starts with a certain amount and just gradually build up a tolerance that the one bottle isn't enough. It becomes two, then it becomes three. And I found at the time I was renting kind of close to where I worked, and I used to find myself going home at lunch and doing it. And then it turned into morning, and then
So you'd come home from lunch and what? Scull a glass of wine and go back to work?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I know I'm totally ashamed to admit this, but there's no...
No, but I'm delighted you are admitting it, because I should imagine you're not the only person. No.
Yeah, no.
So, okay, so you were at work, you'd come home at lunchtime, you'd have a glass of wine, you'd come home after work, you'd have a glass or two or three or four. And did it start to affect... you said at the start you were highly functional. At what point did it start directly affecting your life?
I'll be honest, I got a mortgage at 23, and so then I wasn't living so close to work. It was a different job, and I actually, believe it or not, no one would have ever even, you know, all my drinking was on my own. I never socialized or anything, so no one would have ever thought that I had a problem. Like, my own family probably wouldn't have even known. But, like, I'll be totally honest, and again, like, to my shame, I must have been over the limit, like, every day driving into work. Yeah. And, like, it was a long commute. And I must have been, like, in hindsight, it's only since I, you know, have gotten, I think I was about 28 the first time I was admitted to hospital. I had, like, basically, I just couldn't. I had, like, a nervous breakdown. It totally just
got on top of you.
Got me. Yeah, yeah. That it was only then that I actually kind of, you know, I mean, you have a moral bar, and like I was brought up well, beautiful, like mom and grandparents. I would have never thought I'd be capable of drink driving, but it just because the bar just gets lowered, like the more you get, it gets on top of you, and that's why I'm just so worried. Like, I'm not saying. And like, there's, you know, there are people who can drink, you know, every day and not develop an addiction. But just by the signs of the passion there, particularly the fact that, you know, she's like, obviously she's worried about her sister. But it just rang.
Okay, so literally, when you heard that story, you said that was me before it got out of control, and it got so out of control that by your own admission, you would be drinking so much in the evening that every morning you were driving to work, you know full well you were well over the limit.
Oh, yeah. I'll be totally honest. I was drinking 24/7 at the last stage. I don't know how I haven't killed anybody, or, you know, and that's the only saving grace. And it disgusts me to admit that. But I lost everything. I had to sell my... had to sell my home, like, lost the car. I don't know how. I wasn't never, you know, and I'm disgusted at myself, and it's something I'll never forgive myself for. But I'm not.
Did you go through?
I'm not a bad person.
As a matter of interest, Julie, did you go through all this on your own? Were you in a relationship, or is that part of the problem?
No, I was. No. I'm not in a relationship. So yeah, I was. Totally, like, solo drinking.
That's what I was about to say. Was part of this to do with loneliness?
No, to be honest, I was also addicted to my job. Like, I used to work 20 hours a day. Like, I'd come home and I still to this day don't even know how I could do it. Really stressful, high pressure job. I'd be up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning after work, you know, working from home through my VPN, and with a bottle of wine beside me, like, I don't know how I did it, but it just got to the point that it just got way too much, and I just completely cracked, broke down.
What was the straw that broke the camel's back?
Work stuff, I think. Just harassment by somebody, and it just got too much, got overwhelming. And obviously, I think, well, no, being on the stage in the store that birth comes back was the copious amounts of crap I was putting into my body and not even eating. Like, I was just drinking, just constantly drinking and walking around. Like, you'd see me down the street, like, I had my makeup on, hair done, nice clothes, no one would know, and I was absolutely permanently pickled. Like, that's the only way I can describe it. But you do develop a tolerance that, like, it's not like you've seen someone out on a Friday night after a bit of a session. Like, I wouldn't be falling around the place. Mm.
But it was just this constant consumption of alcohol. And yeah. Again, the important part about this is that this started innocently enough, just having a couple of glasses of wine every night.
And I mean, I know people are predisposed to stuff like that. Like, not everyone who drinks, you know, is going to turn into someone like me. But I do believe that if I hadn't have gotten to a daily habit of it, it wouldn't have turned into as severe a problem. If I had just kept it to, like, socializing, or, you know, I don't think, because I've never.
And again, this is where this conversation is coming from, that this lady who's having the couple of glasses of wine every night doesn't actually see it as a problem because she's not going out and getting pissed at the weekends.
Yeah. Oh, no one does. Like, the last three, or this, and I know I'm hogging your time, but just a brief example, the last, without obviously giving anyone's name or anything away, the last treatment centre I was in over in the UK, like, the amount of people who are totally in denial, and maybe their partner, you know, children would make them go in. So, and unless you want it, unless you're ready to admit that, you know, I think step one of an Alcoholic Anonymous program is that you have to admit that you're powerless over your addiction and your life has become unmanageable. This guy, he was in his, I think, late 40s, had everything going for his own business, gorgeous looking guy, totally in denial until 2 weeks in, because I turned around to him, he was doing one of the assignments, he was reading it out, and he had to give examples of how the drink had made his life unmanageable. And he was saying, oh, I got a few parking tickets because I never collected my car from the train station, and silly, like, trivial, innocuous stuff. And I turned around to him and I was like, let's call him Jim. I was like, Jim, sorry, because everyone was like, oh, you're amazing, fair play to you for, like, you know, you're gonna smash this. And I was like, no, I totally disagree. I said, you're after giving reasons why your life is unmanageable. You nearly died. The guy had 8 blood transfusions. He perforated his esophagus. He was drinking so heavily.
My God.
Yet he still couldn't see. You know, I was like,
let me read a couple of messages that have come into us. One is, sure. I'm so proud listening to that girl, and well done to her for speaking out. I'm sending her big hugs. Another message says, my heart is going out to that lady. She's so brave to put herself out there and be so honest. So many people do not come out the other side. Well done to you, says that message. And after the break, Julie, I want to, and Andrew, I'll take your call as well in just a moment. After the break, I want to find out from you where you are now. Okay?
Okay.
So stay with me for a couple of moments. I'll be straight back to you. This is 98FM's Dublin Talks. We're talking about wine o'clock and how it can become a lot more sinister than having just a couple of glasses of wine, as you might see it yourself. We'll come back to Julie in a second. As you said, Julie, some people are perhaps predisposed to developing a drinking problem like this. But for others, it is something that kind of creeps up on them, as we heard from that man a while ago about his partner, that it just creeped up on her.
I mean, alcohol is the biggest poison. Like, I may as well go all out. Like, I've taken almost every drug as well, but nothing has, like, this is my primary poison, and nothing has taken over my soul, not to be melodramatic, as much as alcohol has. And people, even within, like, fellowships, like, say, like, I mean, I've done hundreds of AA, CA, NA meetings. I've been to 2 different, like, addiction counselors on top of inpatient treatments. And even the way we differentiate between a drug addict and an alcoholic, there shouldn't be a different terminology, because alcohol is a drug, and it's the most insidious drug. Like, I mean,
that's the point of this conversation, that it's a socially acceptable drug.
Totally, you can go into a garage, get a bottle, go into a shop, get a bottle. No one looks at you and goes, ew.
And in fact, we have such a problem with alcohol that I know, for example, my wife isn't drinking at present, okay? And she finds herself, if we go to the pub, pretending that she has a pink gin. It's a fizzy water with a bit of blackcurrant in it. And she puts that in front of her so that people don't say, what do you mean you're not having a drink? Ah, you'll have a drink, you'll have a drink, which people do.
Oh, you're so right. I know, and it's absolutely, I mean,
so it's easier for her to pretend she's having a drink.
Oh, yeah, then deal with the, are you,
is there something wrong with you, or,
you're either an alcoholic or you're pregnant, you know, it's like, or from a man's perspective, like, oh, yeah, definitely, or, you know, there must be something wrong. What, like, what is, you don't get that in other, in like, I'm not down in Ireland, but, like, it's just such
you don't
a,
get that anywhere else.
We
no,
needed
no.
a total mind shift because, you're honestly seen as an absolute weirdo. I mean, I would rather be that weirdo than be the 32-year-old living in a hotel with
And that's exactly where what I wanted to come to. Yeah. 32 years of age, your entire 20s wasted drinking.
Yeah, completely.
Where are you now, Julie?
Unfortunately, the only time I've ever been sober or ever got a day of sobriety is when I've been inpatient. So the last I got out just before Christmas, and I'm probably worse than ever, being completely honest.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think because it was such an intense treatment program the last time, I did a lot of kind of self kind of, you know, really worked it, like I really tried my best, and then I came out like I think a bit traumatized because I dug up things that I'd never even really dealt with. So yeah, I've been worse, and I'm breaking my mum's heart, like I really am. And sorry, I'm not gonna get upset, but
you're breaking my heart as well talking to you.
Sorry.
So tell
but
me,
I just want to warn people, just don't waste your life. It's there's so much, like I don't even like drink. Adrian, I don't even like it. I drink warm white wine because I'm obviously in a hotel room. I don't even have a fridge. So I drink warm white wine and nearly makes me gag. But I just can't stop. And I've ruined everything, basically. I had so much potential, not to toot my own horn, but I did. And now, so that's why I was so triggered by your listener's email, because I was like, please don't, and especially with two kids, like I don't have kids, thank God, not that I don't want them, but just I don't think I'd even be able to stop for children, to be honest.
Tell me, what will today be for you?
I can't say too much because of something, which is a really I'll give myself away. But
okay, I'll rephrase the question then.
An average day.
Yes.
An average day of late would be basically getting up, listen to News Talk all morning, then switch over to you, then back to News Talk, then maybe Joe Duffy, and the whole time just drinking. And that's it. And
in a hotel room.
Uh-huh. Four walls, I can't even look at emails. I can't even look at not that I get many, but I've totally and you'd think that would be kind of motivation enough to stop.
And how are you providing for yourself?
Well, I was lucky enough when I sold my place, I was in positive equity, but like obviously it's not sustainable. Like it's, I don't even want to check my account balance. Like I don't even.
So you're literally drinking your house.
Pissing it down the drain. Yeah, or pissing in the wind, or whatever the expression is. Yeah, literally, excuse the pun, because it's going to be gone, and I don't know how much longer it's going to be left. But like.
Julie, my heart is going out to you here.
Sorry, Adrian.
Oh, no, but it is.
I'm not
sorry,
ringing
Julie.
To look for sympathy or anything, honestly.
Well,
I just
you're getting it from me.
People. No, I just warn people, this is how, you know, like people have this preconception that like alcoholics or drug addicts are bad people. Like I swear, I do anything for anybody, and I've always Sorry. I just don't want to see you anyway. Look, if speaking to you today makes one person think, oh my God, I do not want to end up where that woman is, then that would be one person safe, because it's a death sentence. Like, it's a prolonged suicide, and it's really, really miserable. Really miserable. Like, there's no enjoyment or pleasure in anything, obviously. How could there be? So just please.
And, okay, you were saying that your average day consists of listening to news talk, listening to Dublin Talks, listening to Joe Duffy, sitting in a hotel room, drinking warm wine and gagging on it. I have to, I mean, I'm blown away by, I can't get this image out of my head of you just being so desperately lonely.
Yeah, and I think for years I didn't want to admit that, because I felt like, oh, embarrassed to say that I was lonely. But yeah, but it's my own fault, because obviously who could be friends with someone like me?
How are your family? You say you've broken your family's heart.
Well, my dad doesn't talk to me at all. My mum's amazing. She's my best friend.
And I'm sure she's tried everything for you, has she?
Oh, she has. She's been amazing, yeah. I just, this has just got me by the, I don't know, I just can't stop. So, listen, I really need to go, Adrian, but I just don't want it to be about me.
No, that's fine. But I want you to just listen to our final caller here. Just one second.
Cool. Yeah.
And Teresa.
Hi, Adrian.
Listening to Julie's story, and I know Julie says she doesn't want it to be about her, and I respect her for that, but you were that soldier yourself, were you?
I was, and I wasn't actually going to give an input until I heard her. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because that was me.
Hmm. So tell me how you, because I'm taking it, that was you in the past tense.
Yes.
How did you break that cycle?
How did I break the cycle? Well, I had two amazing daughters who supported me all the way. But tough love.
Tough love to yourself?
Tough love. If I didn't stop drinking, they weren't going to come and visit me.
Oh, sorry. Right. So it was tough love from others that put the pressure on you.
Yeah. Plus, I have grandchildren whom I adore. Anyway. It started, I had an accident and I couldn't work again. So, and that was due to alcohol as well. I fell down my daughter's stairs. I had a C2 fracture of the vertebrae, broke my leg. And that didn't stop me. And that was alcohol related, according to the surgeons.
Mm-hmm.
Came home. I had to learn how to walk again. Came home. But God only knows why. I picked up a drink, and then it was one bottle of wine, it was two, the same pattern, to be honest, Adrian, for a lot of women that I know.
And that's actually what this conversation is about, primarily about women secretly drinking and not admitting that, you know, it's almost become a cool thing to say, ooh, it's wine o'clock. But that's become a problem.
It's become a problem because it's acceptable, and more so if you find yourself drinking alone at home, that's number one sign.
Mm.
If you drink when you get up in the morning, I'd often get up, put on the kettle, I'd see a bottle of wine in our half bottle in the fridge, and forget the tea. But I was drinking, like my daughter said, Mom, you had a weird taste in alcohol when she came to empty the bins. She said, you drank everything. And I said, yeah. She said, I was amazed that, you know, some of the labels, Adrian.
So tough love from your family finally made you come around. What would you say to Julie? What advice? And Julie, I know we're talking to somebody who has gone through treatment, has left the country to go into treatment. Teresa, is there anything you can say to her?
I can indeed. I mean, she touched me so much, it was like a mirrored image of myself. I found myself one morning just couldn't do it anymore. Uh-huh. Couldn't do it. I was on my hands and knees begging God, help me.
Yeah.
So I linked in with the place called Auchling, and I got a taxi myself. I told my girls, I got a taxi to Walmart Hospital. I could barely hold my head in place. And when I went into triage, straight away, they put me on detox, brought me to the high dependency unit. I didn't expect to get treated like that. It was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
But in the high dependency unit, I was brought down for tests, like an MOT, to see how everything was doing. And the liver was fine. I kept saying it couldn't be.
Yeah.
But when I came back up after most of the tests, the doctor there, and he was such a lovely guy, wouldn't even let you call him doctor, but he brought over a picture of a lady's silhouette and the effects it has on the body. And do you know that he said, when he said to me, it can affect your brain, which is commonly called wet brain.
Of course, I know, yeah. Tiny
now, that's what really said to me, oh no, I don't want to be going into a vegetative state and see, I don't want to be like that. That was the bottom line. Mm-hmm. So I stayed in hospital for 5-6
so
days.
Teresa, can I just cut across your phone a second and ask you again, where did you say you went for that treatment?
Coonwera, Sister Concilio.
Oh, Coonwera, sorry, Coonwera, okay, yeah. Coonwera, okay, yeah, sorry, go on, continue.
I came home, went, linked in with my GP. She was delighted to hear. I phoned Coomera every day and I got a place within a week.
And that's the advice that you would give to Julie?
Yeah, well, you see, you have to want to go yourself because this was a 12-week problem. Some people go into, they pay maybe $6,000 and they don't come out all right. But this program was intense. You offload everything. You have a counsellor of your own. You do work.
Okay, and just for people, because we've had a lot of inquiries about this, Coonwera, not Coonwera, so Coonwera. Coonwera,
yeah,
is Ireland's largest voluntary provider of addiction treatment services and residential rehabilitation. Its main objective is the rehabilitation of persons suffering from alcohol, drug and gambling addictions. The Coonwera programme is based on the philosophy of total abstinence and strives to restore the confidence, self-respect and sense of responsibility of all participants. Julie, is that something you would look at?
Oh, Adrian, and I just want to say as well, Teresa, I'm chuffed for you and fair play. I'm so glad you have your life back. Well done. But unfortunately, I mean, I've exhausted every avenue in terms of treatment centres. I can't get into Coomera because I'm on medication. They won't accept me. And that's why, like, I paid $28,000 there before Christmas for 8 weeks in a place, like, obviously money down the drain again, and
yeah.
I'm not rich, believe me, but I've heard great things.
Why did they say they won't take you because you're on medication?
Oh, it, you see, they're antidepressants and antipsychotics, so they're technically mood altering substances. So I have tried Coomera, Ashery, and all those places, honestly. If I was
have you
that,
yeah, I'm just there, you know, I'm bewildered because I was on antidepressants and other medication.
Yeah,
I was going in and I still got them.
And did they taper you off for? Oh, sorry, I'm not turning this into a personal conversation.
Go on,
I'm sorry,
go
guys.
On.
But no, I know I've tried. Believe me, I've tried everything and even.
But Julie, I would. The only thing I can urge you to is not give up on yourself. Because it sounds like you're looking for excuses to give up on yourself. And
if
I could forward you on all of the text messages that people have sent in to us in the last while, I could be here for the next half hour reading them all out. Some offering to be a shoulder to cry on, basically. Others saying, and honestly, the amount of messages I've gotten in the last half hour, it's very rare I've gotten so many texts about one particular person. And I know you said a moment ago, sorry, Teresa, thank you very much indeed for your call. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Adrian?
Yes, go on, yep.
If she would like some support, you could give her my number if you want, if she would accept it.
Oh, thank you so much, Teresa. I really appreciate that. You're so kind.
And will you accept that, Julie?
I would, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but I'd love to push you.
I'm not a preacher. I'm just a recovering alcoholic.
No, and thank you, Teresa, and thank you so much for all your advice. And I'm just
okay, well, it's difficult to come on the radio and
absolutely
say publicly,
is.
But I'm delighted if I can in any way.
And Julie, from my knowledge, the biggest road to the biggest step on the road to recovery is admission, and I know you've admitted it for many years, but to be able to coherently speak so publicly about it in the way in which you have done this morning has gripped an awful lot of our listeners, and you have my utmost admiration for even talking about it. I'd love to put you in touch with Teresa to continue this conversation, and she may be able to even be somebody just to talk to. Because it really sounds to me that that's what you're lacking. That's what you're desperate for. And I'd love to put you in touch. And Teresa, just for you.
Yes.
Hi, guys. That's my mam, Teresa. This is a message that just came into me. And I want to tell her how very proud we all are of her.
Oh, my God.
And that's from Nick.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Isn't that Nicky?
Nice? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God, Nicky, I love you.
That's
and she's getting married on December the 8th, Adrian.
All right, but that's lovely to hear.
So that's gonna be another test. But I take it day by day, and that's the only way you can do it.
I would really love to put you in touch with each other if that's okay with both of you. And Julie, I hope you will accept Teresa reaching out to you. And look,
I get that. Thank you.
And just take it from there. And I know you said you didn't want this conversation to be about you. I didn't intend this conversation to go on as long as it has.
Sorry.
No, it's not by my choice. Because I've just been fascinated with your story. I would urge you, because you just sound like a lovely lady. You really do.
I'm not.
Well, you.
Thank you.
You certainly come across that way. You come across as a lovely lady who's just let this get on top of her. And I would urge you not to give up on yourself, because, as you said, you had it all, and there's nothing to stop you getting it all again.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And sorry for hogging so much time, Adrian. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And thanks for putting me in touch with Teresa as well. Thank you.
We'll put you in touch straight away.
Thank you. God bless.
Thanks, Julie. Keep in touch with us.
Take care.
All right. Bye. What a heartbreaking story. If you're affected by any of the issues you've been listening to, I want to give out a couple of helpline numbers. One that was mentioned is Cún Uaire, and they say on their website that they have treated about 100,000 people. 100,000 people have been treated. And if you want to get in touch with them, their number, their nearest branch to us here in Dublin is in Athy in County Kildare. And their phone, this is Cún Uaire, their phone number is 059-86-31090. That's 059-86-31090. That was the centre that Teresa mentioned a moment ago. And a couple of numbers I want to give out. The Rutland Centre's number is 494-6358. And the HSE's Alcohol and Drug Helpline is 1800 459 459. That's the HSE's Alcohol and Drug Helpline, 1800 459 459. This is 98FM's Dublin Talks. And as I said, I'm really taken aback by the amount of messages that we've gotten in. For that lady, Julie. Just one. Adrian, my heart is broken. Julie sounds like a phenomenal woman. Please send on my message of support. I would love to be in a position to reach out and help her. More importantly, please tell her that her story has made a difference to me. I'd like Julie to know her call is going to make me change my habits. That message just came into me this very second. This is 98 FM's Dublin Talks.
98 FM's Dublin Talks with the Des Kelly Interiors gift voucher for beds, flooring, and more. 98 FM.